If you looked in your bulletin for what's going on this week, you saw in the column starting today, it says fishing trip, question mark. That's a typo, but it's accurate because we were doing a lot of stuff there, but we didn't catch a lot of fish. But when we were there, men's fishing retreat last week, first day out, got in the water a little bit, came back, coming into shore, the sky just opened up, because I was there, sky just opened up, and then we started getting pelted by hail. Hail! Now, that experience was largely a nuisance because our rain gear was still packed. What happened in our gospel today is way different. These disciples, they're scared half to death. Half of them are fishermen, for crying out loud. They make a living in the water, so this must have been a dandy storm that came up that they were so scared. And they turn around in the middle of the storm, and where is Jesus in the middle of all this? He's asleep in the back of the boat. Asleep. Honestly? Now, you and I, we face a lot of storms. Might be a sudden or unexpected diagnosis of some dreaded disease. Maybe you find out the one you love doesn't love you or love someone or something more. The job you've been loyal to for years and years and years isn't loyal to you anymore and kicks you out to save a few bucks. A kid surprises you in some way, and not a happy surprise. One that takes your breath away. Your retirement plans suddenly have different plans for you because they're not worth near what you thought they were. Truth is, a lot of the storms we face in our lives today make literal storms kind of appealing because at least those end. We have an app for that on our phones. We can see when the storm's going to end and we're good, right? But for the storms we face inside our lives, there's times that feel like there's no end at all. When the disciples faced the storm in the boat with Jesus asleep in the back, it's interesting what happened there. They didn't want him to fix it. They didn't say, Jesus, calm the storm. No. They accused him of not caring because he was asleep. Because Jesus would not join them in their fear, in their panic, they concluded, well, he doesn't care. Now, from a distance, a couple thousand years, we might look at these guys and feel all smug and smile and laugh at them, but we're not that much different. Because when we face a crisis, when storms come up out of the blue and catch us off guard, we frequently, well, we get afraid. Now, at first, Jesus' response to the disciples was, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Now, sometimes that phrase might sound as if Jesus was blaming them for being afraid they were going to die. But I don't think that was his intention. I think instead Jesus was saying, fellas, I'm here. I'm here. I'm with you. I haven't left you alone. And then he told the storm to stop, and it did. So this story raises the question of just what storm was being calmed. Was it the one on the outside or the one inside of them that was fueled by fear and its tamer cousin, worry? See, for a lot of us, I know, it can feel like the storms we face on the outside are the things that matter because that's what we can see, right? They have physical effects. But deep down in our socks, we know the bigger storms, the one that keep us awake at night, those are the ones we can't see. But they're bigger because we hide them inside. And because we hide them, nobody else knows how scared or threatened we feel. Now, sometimes people then read the story and they will conclude that if we have enough faith, if we just trust Jesus enough, he will magically make everything turn out okay. Our wishes will be granted. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of good, deeply faithful people who suffer where bad things don't get better. Sometimes people face tragedy and crisis simply because of who they are. This week, 9 people were killed in Charlotte, in their church, by a crazed, racist madman. And they were killed for the crime of being black. Storm? You bet. Jesus didn't stop that. If we expect everything to get better because we follow Jesus, we're going to be disappointed. I know we've covered this ground before, but we all know a lot of people who've turned their back on God for precisely that reason. I didn't get what I want when I wanted it. God does not fix problems and make them go away. Now, that's one of the things that happens, though, when we assume that, when we assume that these stories need to be literally true. Truth is, Jesus is not in the business of stopping every storm we face outside of us. If Jesus promised us an easy life of prosperity and material happiness, he sure missed the boat himself. Remember, Jesus was the one who was betrayed. He was spit on, he was beaten, he was crucified to death. That doesn't sound like prosperity or an easy life to me. And his followers faced a similar fate. So Jesus did not say, hey, if you want to be rich, follow me. Oh, no, he said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, suffer with me, sacrifice with me for the sake of loving others. Come with me to heal the sick and raise the dead and clothe the naked. Come with me to not only proclaim forgiveness, but to show what it looks like. I heard on the news this morning that some of the families in Charlotte who had family members killed forgave the man who killed them. They forgave the man who killed them. Could you? That is what faith looks like. Jesus tells us, follow me and sacrifice the stuff of life that clutters the path and hold out for the things that really matter so you can truly live. Don't be afraid of losing that stuff. That doesn't matter. Instead, here's what to be afraid of. Be afraid of losing yourself. Be afraid of losing yourself and losing your way. So don't settle for an existence defined by what you have or the stuff that has you. Hold out for real life with me, he said. A life that is defined by loving and doing, not getting and having. The storms Jesus calms are the ones on the inside. Storms of fear and panic. Storms of trying to change things we can't change and control things we can't control. Now think about that for a second. How much time and energy do we spend trying to control things we can't control? This week, case in point, 6 guys from our church were on this men's fishing retreat, and we experienced what they call no bite. Okay? It was the height of the mayfly hatch, which means that the fish were already well fed. So we were out beating the water to a froth, driving boats into rocks and stumps, and losing jigs and lures and 200-300 yards of fishing line, not catching much at all. So guess what we did? You think we stopped? No! We went back out thinking, oh, this time, oh, I knew another trick. Let's try a different spot. I'm going to go again. Couldn't snag them. Yet we continue to waste time on things we can't control, trying to fix it ourselves. And it doesn't work. But what matters is Jesus is with us all the time. Now, we might think he's sleeping in the back of the boat, but he's still with us, facing every storm life's going to throw at us. And Jesus doesn't fix the storms. Instead, there are times there are storms we need to face. Now, I want to be careful with this. This is not to say that God makes bad things to happen or teach us a lesson. Storms and struggles just show up. But the deal is, in the midst of every storm we experience, God has the power to lead us, to help us remember what really matters and what our lives are for. See, Jesus promises to be with us. Now, that means he's more than just there. Last weekend, I was doing some yard work, and I had the radio on, and a song came on, this goofy radio show I listened to. The song was called Plastic Jesus. It's a song about a plastic Jesus in the dashboard of my car. Okay? If you know it, you need help. Now, the point is, you know, talking about this plastic Jesus like some kind of talisman, right? That's not what Jesus is, friends. Jesus is alive with us, in us, to guide us away from the external decorations that live on the outside of us, to bring us into peace and contentment and purpose and meaning and belonging and being loved. It ain't no plastic Jesus that feeds 400 people at Bread of Healing. It's no plastic Jesus that rebuilds houses for Lakota. It's no plastic Jesus that loves kids at 18th and Locust. Oh no, it's the real one. Our story is not about storms. It's about trust versus panic and fear. It's about where we're going to look for peace. When we face things that feel overwhelming, we might want to try to fix them. I'll still keep fishing. But even though we don't like to admit it, there's a lot of stuff we can't control, and nothing we do is going to change it. If we worry and panic in face of the storms of life, chances of things turning out badly, well, they only increase. So Jesus does not join us in the panic when things get hard. He doesn't make every storm outside go away because that's not his job. Bad things happen. They are part of life. And Jesus says, I'm here. Why are you afraid? I'm here. Why are you afraid? In the seat right next to you. The seat right behind you. You think I'm sleeping? I'm here. I'm with you. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm here. Don't be afraid. I'll always love you. You may know that old Mariner's Prayer. Help me, God. Because the storm is so big. And my boat is so small. Jesus says, no matter how small your boat, there's room in there for me. I'm with you. This is not some kind of spiritual escapism. It's about reality. It's about the living God who loves us so much he will never abandon us or leave us alone. If there are times we feel like we're alone facing things that scare us silly, look at the seat next to you. Look in the back of the boat and see who's there. Jesus is with us all the time, never leaving us alone.